Good morning and welcome to church. It's good to see you here, and welcome to those who are joining us online. I think George has one or two intimations for us.
Morning, everybody. Yes, the intimations. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Next Sunday, 29th of September, we will have Catch with us in the church and we will celebrate the harvest. Discussion group. The Eternity Discussion Group is meeting every second Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room to conclude our series on prophets with Amos. Next meeting, 24th of September, information from Derek on 882190. Coffee morning. The next coffee morning is Saturday the 5th of October from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Please come along. All money raised from this coffee morning will be going towards the sponsorship for the three children the church supports through Compassion. If you can assist before or during the event, please add your name to the sheet in the vestibule. Excuse me. Joint service. The next joint service with our neighbouring West Fife Village congregations will take place on Sunday the 6th of October at Steel End Miners Welfare Club at 11 a.m. Please consider sharing transport. There will be no service in Cairnhill and no Zoom presentation that day. Harvest Home Meal. Curis and Torreyburn and Carnot and Oakley churches invite you to a harvest home meal and dance at Oakley Church on Friday the 18th of October from 7 o'clock until 10 p.m. with Bob Adam and his band. Tickets are £15. Please speak to the welcome team of our session clerks if interested, as numbers are needed to be known. More intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet available from the website or Facebook if you do not have a copy. For those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Just maybe one little bit to say about the harvest service. What we do is we do bring goods to church on a harvest Sunday. Anything that is tinned or packeted goes to the food bank, and the fresh goods are sold for a donation, and the monies from that go to the food bank. We've been doing that for quite a few years now, but we kind of assume people know what we're doing, but you might not. So that's at our harvest service next week. Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 146, From All That Dwell Below the Skies.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive our gifts from us. We offer these gifts as a token of our love and of our desire to serve you. Bless our giving to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Alistair, of course, is leading us in prayer this morning.
So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are God, and we praise you. You are the Lord, and we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The apostles praised you. The prophets praised you. Martyrs praised you. Throughout the world, the church acclaims you as Father of unbounded majesty. Along with your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. Lord, we are humbled as we wonder at the greatness of your power. We wonder at your gentleness and love. Help us to worship you in our words, in our thoughts, and in our lives. As we bring to you our prayers of praise, so also we bring our prayers asking for forgiveness. In this world of so much conflict, we have not fully learned how to make peace. In this divided world, we have continually taken advantage of each other. We have judged each other without true knowledge and taken a self-righteous stance. We have set up barriers of pride and possessions. We have divided people by their skin colour. We have even shown religious superiority, thinking we are the greatest. We think too of our integrity. Do we tolerate what you despise? Do we compromise with the misguided ideologies and worldly standards facing us in society? Jesus calls us to be holy as you are holy. Help us to pursue holiness in our lives. Forgive us, merciful God and Father. Help us commit our whole being to you, as we bring to you now our own personal silent prayer. O Lord of heaven and earth, bless the worship of your church in this place, that we may hear the living word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hear us now as we join together in prayer, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 166, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy. you're looking for a book in the Old Testament, it can be quite tricky because there are 39 of them and most of us can't recite the books of the Bible in order. I certainly can't. One way of navigating the Old Testament, if you have a rough idea where the book is look for the book of Psalms, because it's a very obvious one in terms of the number of Psalms that are there, in terms of chapters in other books, and it's right in the middle of the Old Testament. In many ways, the Psalms are at the heart of the Old Testament, not just in terms of navigating 39 books, but because the Psalms express the heartfelt hopes and fears of the people to God. God is brought into almost everything in life in those Psalms. Some of them we don't use because we think, can't possibly say that. Surely we can't say that. But for the Hebrew people, they could say anything to God because God was in everything. So they brought their hopes, their fears, everything that was in their hearts to God. And so there at the heart of the Old Testament is the book of Psalms. The person that we associate with the Psalms, though he didn't write all of them, is David. King David is known as the psalmist. Though theologians may differ about how many of the Psalms attributed to David were written by him, it is clear that he wrote a great number of them. David became the iconic king that the people of Israel saw as both past hero and source of future salvation. The Messiah would come from David's line. Not just a descendant, but people were looking for a leader like David, or who they thought David was. Human beings have a tendency to idolize the heroes of the past, remembering their success, forgetting their failure. The truth is, David, at his best, was a humble man. He knew his power and authority came from God and acknowledged that in his behavior. David, at his worst, used his power for his own ends and believed that he had the right to do what he thought he should do. Of course, David's saving grace was that when confronted with his failure, he saw this immediately not as an attack upon him, but his failure before God. His greatness is found in his ability to repent of wrong. Like all great men and women of faith that we find in the Bible, David is entirely human in his frailty. But his heart belonged to God. He knew he was only right when he was right with God. On a number of occasions, when people welcomed Jesus or wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, they looked to him as a descendant of David. More than just lineal descent, they wanted Jesus to be the kind of leader that they believed that David had been. And so they were looking for somebody of power and authority, somebody who would throw out the Romans, a military leader of great wisdom. God's anointed Savior would set God's people in a place of honor and strength in worldly terms. We would not use such terms for Jesus as Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. We know that Jesus was so much greater than that, and yet so unlike any kind of earthly authority. But we too can be caught up in earthly things. When we look back to what the church was decades ago, what do we mourn? Is it the loss of respect, power and influence that the church once had? Is it something that could be looked at as a very earthly thing that we regret what we've lost in terms of prestige within society and within the world, rather than who we are before God? In our readings, we are reminded that we are to seek strength in God's grace, and that greatness is not measured by anything of this world. The challenge that Jesus presents to his disciples in our reading from the New Testament is for disciples of any and every age. And the words of Psalm 1 apply today as much as any day. So George is going to read for us. He's going to read the first of the Psalms and a short passage from Mark chapter 9. Would you like the printed? You're going to read it off the screen. That's fine.
I'll attempt to read it off the screen.
Would you like a printed one just in case?
Just in case. No, I'll march. I hope. I did do the reading course at one time. Yes, our readings this morning. The first one is from Psalm 1, reading verse 1 to 6. Who are the righteous? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The second reading is from Mark 9, reading from verse 30 to 37. Who is the greatest? They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
We sing now from Mission Praise, number 619. Such love, pure as the whitest snow.
Such love, pure as the whitest snow.
quite a significant number of human interest programmes on television are based upon people looking for connections that make sense of who they are. When we talk about family tree, what is often depicted is upside down. As the family tree branches into the past through parents, grandparents, and so on, we tend to think of it doing that, but actually, when people are looking at their family tree, they're looking less at it as it branches up the way, but as the roots go deep. And I'm sure there is one type of tree that I was told about sometime in the past, just one of these vague memories, where they said that the tree is actually mirrored underground. There's as much root underground as there is branches, and so if we look at our family tree, when we look back, there are all of those roots, and when we look forward, we are very often looking forward to a tree that branches out from where we stand. So people are looking for something that roots them. What is it that makes them who they are? What is it that they are then passing on to future generations? I suppose the obvious programme is Who Do You Think You Are? And there a variety of celebrities trace their roots, often looking for something that is in their own character that has come from their forebears. Maybe a more important type of programme is something like Long Lost Family, where people who do not know what their root is are searching for reasons for being. And maybe even things like Repair Shop. That's often about memories associated with an object as people are thinking about parents and grandparents and so on. And of course, genealogy has become a huge interest in our society. Maybe much more so than it was, say, 50 years ago. Perhaps it's the speed of change that has driven our growing desire for a stability drawn from our roots. Perhaps it is the transient, throwaway materialism we have created that makes us so unsettled. Or is it that we no longer have faith in something greater than ourselves? The gods of our age are as destructive as they are self-serving. Our society tends to worship things like celebrity, wealth, influence. The gods of our age are unforgiving, or maybe perhaps more accurately, cannot forgive. At the heart of the Christian faith is the reality of forgiveness. Of course, to be forgiven requires us to know that we need forgiveness. With God's law, we are presented with the need of God's forgiveness, but without God, there is no forgiveness. The law only serves to convict, to condemn. It is from God that we receive forgiveness. As a child, the worst answer from parent, teacher, or anybody in authority are those words, "Please yourself." It was certainly not pleasing to me when my parents would say to me, when I wanted to do something, "Please yourself." Have we become a please yourself society as faith in God has diminished? This might come in many different forms. We see it with those in positions of power and wealth. They believe and act on the principle that what pleases them is right. It must be right because they've got wealth and power. In world terms, nations or groups within nations live by the rule, please yourself. You see, nothing is wrong until it adversely affects us. Our displeasure is the measure of right and wrong in worldly terms and very much in our society today. Temptation towards selfishness is not new. These things are there in both of our readings today. In Psalm 1, we are reminded that those who know what is right and seek what is right under God are like a tree growing by streams of water. Those who are rooted in faith in God are those who have real life. This is not a claim to be better by some kind of right. Rather, it is looking to God for righteousness. This is not claiming to be right before God, therefore God is obliged to reward. It is knowing our human frailty and facing struggles in life, trusting not in ourselves, but trusting in God. The story we read from Mark follows on from Jesus being transfigured on the mountaintop, and many scholars looking at that point in the New Testament see the road down the mountain as very much aiming straight at Jerusalem. The road ahead is going to be difficult. And so Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for what will happen when he gets to Jerusalem, that story that we know as Easter. In the midst of his teaching about his sacrifice for them, they are arguing about their own superiority. Where do they stand in the hierarchy of disciples? Clearly, they're not listening. They're still thinking of Jesus in worldly terms. They're still thinking of Jesus as being the kind of Savior that they want, the Messiah that they have imagined. And since they are his closest friends, who are they going to be in this new regime that Jesus will be the head of? No doubt the argument was based upon their assessment of themselves as compared to others. It would also have been a perceived hierarchy based upon who they thought Jesus trusted most. In some ways, this is a childish argument along the lines of, who's the favourite child? And that happens amongst siblings more than we might like to admit. And I can clearly remember having feelings of superiority to my sisters, not because they were sisters, but because I was the oldest. And my parents treated us all equally. But one of my sisters felt somewhat hard done by, and she now admits that it's a real feeling, but it had no reality in actual practice. It was just how she felt. So who is the favourite child? Who's the favoured one in this room? Who's above the others? Who's not? And you can imagine if we were having a discussion on that, we wouldn't want Jesus to interrupt us. So Jesus asks the question that the disciples don't want to hear and certainly don't want to answer. What were you talking about? And we can maybe imagine the heads going down. They certainly do not want to confess because they know that Jesus would not approve. Maybe it is no surprise that Jesus challenges them by using the example of a little child. What Jesus requires is not a childish attitude, but a childlike attitude. And by taking this child, he is quite literally placing before them, in that society, a person of no status. The little child would be cared for and nurtured, but a little child did not have status. When Jesus begins to talk about greatness, He has a little child before him. And that greatness is now measured by service. And who do you serve? Well, you've got to be the least of all. And in that gathering, who was the least of all? It was the little child. And so when you welcome the least, Jesus says, you're welcoming me. But actually, if you're welcoming me, you're not welcoming me at all. You're welcoming the one who sent me. This is the absolute opposite of please yourself. Who does the servant please? The servant pleases their master, if they're a good servant. And if you're going to be servant of all, then there is no one beneath you, all are above you. Such is the love of God that is revealed in Jesus. We not only have these words, but Jesus' example, for he above all others is the servant of all. Jesus takes upon himself that place of being the least. When we get to Easter, we talk about it so often, about Jesus' death, and death on the cross meant a denial of even his humanity. This is love and service that goes as far as death for us. Jesus saying that he is the servant of all. And so as God's people, as those who say that we are disciples of Jesus, we have that example. We have that calling. But this is not self-denigration. It's not looking down on ourselves. And it is certainly not about some kind of false humility. It is much more about the joy of serving God in our loving service of each other. It is the freedom of knowing a childlike joy in pleasing our Heavenly Father. I came across this little quotation from a Chinese philosopher from before the time of Jesus, where he says, "The great man is he who does not lose his child's heart." We, who are God's people, we should certainly be those folk who have not lost our child's heart in terms of being childlike and knowing in a childlike way that everyone carries the imprint of God, because we were made in God's image, every one of us. And so we look at the other and we say, how can we serve Jesus? How can we serve God? How can we be the servant of all? Amen. Hymn 547. What a friend we have in Jesus. And now our prayers for other people.
So let's come before God once more. Father, you have been so good to us in our ingratitude, thoughtlessness, and forgetfulness of you. For your pity, long-suffering, gentleness, and tenderness, we bow our heads in humble thankfulness of heart. We cry out to the Lord. We plead for the Lord's mercy. We pour out our complaints before him and tell him all our troubles. When we are overwhelmed, you alone know the way we should turn. Heavenly Father, we cry out for those who are suffering through food shortages around the world. We ask you to provide for millions of people facing food insecurity and malnutrition. We pray that you will provide rain in season to enable crops to grow and meet the needs of the hungry. Please direct governments and aid agencies to supply needy communities wisely and protect those entrusted with transporting scarce resources, especially to your church that is suffering from persecution, hardship, or the ravages of conflict. We ask for your divine provision in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all who work closely with nature, for farmers and gardeners who grow our food, for scientists and technicians who probe the secrets of the earth, for foresters who plant and harvest the trees, for those who forecast the weather, for photographers and artists who capture the beauty for others to see, for conservationists and all who guard the precious heritage of the earth. We are well aware of the extremes of weather we are all experiencing. We pray for people in Portugal affected by the wildfires raging in parts of the country. Please protect firefighters and residents. May rain come to help drench the flames. We pray also for less rain just now for southwest Poland and other countries in central and southeastern Europe, trying to cope with devastating floods. We pray for all affected that they may receive adequate help to restore washed out homes and infrastructure. We remember today all those who are grieving the death of loved ones. We think particularly of those coping with grief over the loss of a baby. Lord, we pray for our churches to be places of refuge and restoration, where anyone who has lost a baby can share their experience of stillbirth, miscarriage or abortion, not fearing a judgmental or unsympathetic response, but be heard with compassion and prayerful support. We continue to bring before you the conflict in the Middle East involving Israel and Hezbollah, as well as Hamas in Gaza and the West Bank. We recognise that you are a God of both judgment and mercy. We know that evil must be confronted, but in this tit-for-tat conflict, may the righteous not become self-righteous. And may those whose seeming purpose in life is to bring death be overcome. Most importantly, may you be shown to be the greatest. And so in the silence we now bring before you our own personal prayers for those in need of your love and care at this time. So, Father, we bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
We sing now hymn 113. Our closing praise is God the Father of Creation. To love and to serve, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.